The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a podcast series that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. And welcome to Up on Taconic. I'm your host, Autumn, and today we are going to talk about SPARC, our youth advisory board here at Taconic High School. I'm also so happy to introduce Selena, Callie, and Marie. So we're going to get started on our questions just about what SPARC is and what we provide for our school and our community. And my first question to all of you is, when SPARC first began, where did it begin and why was it created?
Yeah, I can answer that question. So my name is Marie and I work for the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission. And we have a grant that's called the MassCall 3 grant. It's funded through the Bureau of Substance Addiction Services. And the whole purpose is to reduce and prevent the substances that are oftentimes used first among youth, so cannabis, alcohol, and nicotine. And so when we were thinking of how we wanted to get youth really involved in this grant, it came up that we wanted to start youth advisory boards so that they could really guide the programming and all the initiatives that we do in the ways in which we are hoping to reduce youth substance use. So that's really how it got started. We first piloted the youth advisory boards in April of 2023 up through June, and we kind of ran a photo voice project where the students were given prompts about substance use and mental health and just their communities in general to take photos and then have very lively discussions together. And just having a really open dialogue, open and honest dialogue about what they're seeing in their community and what they want to be changed and how they can be the ones that are making that change.
Since you guys started, have you seen any like progression or change so far within the community or within Taconic High School?
So I think the biggest thing so far is I'm just so happy to see how much the Youth Advisory Board has grown since when we first started. This school year, when I walked into the first meeting that I was able to go to, there were so many students I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So I'm so happy with how it has grown and just to hear how much more open that each of the students has been with sharing their own personal experiences and really just being that advocate for other people who may not be a part of this or who maybe are a little quieter or, you know, a little more shy. And we have like a lot of students that are just really able to be that voice for the other youth in the school.
Absolutely. Yeah. My next question for any of you that want to answer is if one of you ever saw yourself as a change maker for suffering students around you during a tough time, like if you were in that position, what would you do? What would it be and why, and how can you help someone in that scenario?
I feel like I definitely advocate for children who suffer with parents who like struggle with addiction, because I've understood and I understand where they're coming from. And I feel like I would really be able to make a change with that because of my experience that I've had with it. Because I know that like a lot of kids in that situation feel alone and feel like no one's there for them, and they honestly feel embarrassed about it. So they don't think that they should ever talk about it, which is understandable. But I feel like if we really advocate for those voices, we could really make a change in our community.
Definitely. And that's why we created SPARC. And I feel like it's also important to note that SPARC isn't just like to help. Well, it is to help. Like, but it's also to make people feel like they can come out and make their voice heard and they can talk about stuff like this, because there's such a stigma around addiction and like stuff with here at Taconic, especially. It's so normalized to smoke and drink, and a lot of people, when they feel like they can talk about it, they feel like they're going to be judged because it's so normal here. And that's why SPARC is created, because we want people to talk about it and we want to make change and we want that stigma to go away.
We're here to support the students whose voices aren't heard. Mm-hmm. We really want to make a change in our community. And I understand like some people think it's cool, but at the end of the day, where is that going to get you?
Nowhere.
I can also just chime in and say, so SPARK stands for Supporting Positive Actions for Resilience and Knowledge. And that is kind of the name of the overarching program that the Youth Advisory Board is under. And then SPARK has kind of seven strategies that we've narrowed down to. And this is really, the strategies are really based on not only the data we get from the Prevention Needs Assessment Survey that is taken every 2 years, but also these strategies are very largely driven by the conversations that we've had with the Youth Advisory Board students. So one of the strategies is a peer mental health support group, which we're in the process of getting up and running using the Active Minds curriculum. So these certain students would be trained in how to recognize when they need or when a fellow student needs, you know, just additional support or maybe some encouragement to go down and talk to a counselor. These students are so empathetic and just have a lot of kindness and compassion to share. So that is one of the strategies. We also have a couple of strategies dedicated to advocacy and being involved in the community and just being a voice in the community to show that just because youth voices aren't often at the center. And so that would be a way where they can really be involved in that. And then also a couple of strategies that are communications campaigns to show that, for example, on the Prevention Needs Assessment Survey, students often indicate that they think that almost all or all of their peers are using substances. And the reality is that the percentage of students actually reporting using substances is so much lower than what everyone thinks. And so we really want to promote the positives that are out there. So that's just a general overview of SPARK and its seven strategies.
Yeah, so in our most recent meeting, we decided to split our group into separate
subcommittees. Yeah.
Subcommittees, yep, yeah.
Subgroups.
And so we split them up, and I want to start off by talking about the group that I was put in, which is which we decided to be call it Insight and Influence. And essentially what that group does is we're going to be planning
events. So, for example, the week that we're planning that is coming up is the Act of Kindness Week, and it's from 2:10 to 2:14, and we'd really just like to spread positivity in our community, even if it's as small as Taconic, because I know that our atmosphere, like just school in general, is always seen as super negative because nobody wants to be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of negative connotation with this school, but essentially, for that week, we had planned to just do small acts of kindness, whether it's compliment someone or just make someone's day. We also are thinking of doing more like physical things, like giving out cards of affirmations, or even like, you know, flowers for Valentine's Day. I even do origami roses. I know how to do that. So that was an option. And or even just like pop out cards that say like really like nice, sweet things. And so, you know, we're planning on doing that. And that's a good jump start to just spread positivity around the school because, you know, there's a lot with Taconic that I feel like we need to get in touch with. And some other stuff that we, you know, plan on, advocating for. I know that in March 21st, it is International Day for Discrimination or International Day for Elimination of Racial Discrimination. That's a big word, but basically what that's about is we didn't plan too far ahead, but that day I believe we are going to try to plan something just to advocate for that problem. And there's many more to come as well that we have here that on this picture that I'm looking at. But another important thing that I do want to address in this podcast is in April, it is Sexual Awareness Month. And that is very, very important and something that I definitely want to eliminate and advocate for victims. but yes, that is an important month that we are not necessarily looking forward to, but you know, looking forward to advocate for. But yeah, so that's what Insight and Influence is going to be doing. But yeah, does anybody else want to talk about their group?
So the group I'm in is called FEAL, which stands for Future Empowerment Action Leaders. So basically what we do in that group is we talk with the city and the people who hand out grants to all these businesses, and we help go over the applications to see which businesses we believe should be able to get these grants so that we have more places where we can go hang out or chill or other places that here in Pittsfield that we would want to like be at that and enjoy.
I also know that there's like a social like group where that is where we really go into the community and get in touch with these small businesses, because mm-hmm. I know another great big reason why a lot of kids use substances is because there's really nothing to do in Pittsfield. It's a very small town and it's more oriented to the older people.
Yeah, and that group is like more for like just like coming up with places for the youth to socialize and mm-hmm. just like, because like you said, not a lot of places.
The movie theater does get boring after a while. I want to see that.
Yeah, I'm sick of every first date. You want to go to the movies?
It's cute the first time, but I feel like we really need to advocate for more things for the youth to do. Because mm-hmm. I know that also the things that we can do or is like centered around money. Mm-hmm. And I know not everyone would have money because most of people aren't old enough to get a job, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But also like, it's not known that there's things to even do here because it's, oh, I'm broke. Oh, mm-hmm. my family can't afford this. But we want to make sure, like, even if your family can't afford this, we can still help you have something else to do.
Give you a place to go and do something and socialize and not regarding money.
Yeah, even just having youth feel more welcome at some of these amazing local cafes, restaurants. There's a lot of, like, unique you know, like, I think it's called The Plant Connector. There's Witch Slapped.
Witch Slapped is absolutely amazing. It's
you love it?
Cute little crystal shop. Yeah. The Marketplace is also stigmatized to be, like, towards, so like, nice. Older people.
Mm-hmm. So is Dottie's, too. I've never been inside Dottie's, but I see just a lot of, like, older people, and I feel like that's something. But, oh, I do work at the YMCA, and back in the summer, we would take the kids on like field trips and stuff. And one of the places was to Dottie's for this guy, he does like kind of like a show for like the little kids or just in general, and anybody can go see it. And I think that's like a good like startup for how we can get, you know, the community involved in like places and just communicating and socializing.
Mm-hmm. Right. I also know that there's so many things on North Street that nobody knows about.
Mm-hmm. It's so like quiet. Like,
right. And also, some kids think it's dangerous because there is a lot of crimes that do occur on North Street. Mm-hmm. But I do know that there's so many, like, little businesses that aren't advertised and not aware of.
Like, just the other day, I was strolling down North Street and, like, I was just looking and there's so many, like, stores and supermarkets. And, like, there's this beautiful Brazilian restaurant that I go to and nobody really knows about it because of all the stuff going on North
Street. I had to go on Google Maps to even find out where Witch Slapped was because it's just not advertised at all. And after a while, you want to, like, what is there to do in Pittsfield? That's the question you ask yourself. So you go search and then you find out, like, oh my God, there's all this cool stuff here. But we never would know about it because it doesn't get advertised.
And nobody talks about it, especially younger people. Like, nobody... All they know is the movies or the YMCA or the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that subcommittee is really going to be focusing on how can we get more youth to use these spaces that already exist? Because there's such a huge loneliness epidemic happening across the United States. And so that can have a lot of negative impacts on mental and physical health. So it can also lead to substance use, as we all know. So we really want to focus on connecting and togetherness and just showing how much better people can feel when they're around their peers and just having a good time without substances. So that's a big part of that subcommittee.
Yeah, I know, like, I feel like in order to have a good time, like in like society, it's so you can like use substances and have a good time. I really want it so that doesn't that's not normalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because just like as explained, like, because there's nothing to do in Pittsfield, people resort to, oh, like, you want to hang out? Like, I have some bottles, I have some nips, or I have, like, some, you know, marijuana. Like,
right.
And that's what they go and do. And then in turn, that causes addiction, that causes younger kids to get involved in these substances that they're not even fully developed. Right. Like, they're going and they're doing this stuff, and they think that it's normal.
There's kids as young as, like, sixth grade doing stuff like that, which is because they don't feel like they have anything else to do.
Right.
And also, even if an addiction were to be occurring, they don't know if there's any help because it's not advertised.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, in the offices and stuff, there's, like, little pamphlets, but do you really
nobody looks at those.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, you have to advocate and, like, show, like, there is help.
Mm-hmm. And that there's actual people who care to help.
Right.
And the thing is, too, like, when kids start using before their brain is fully developed, that increases the risk of addiction by, I don't know the exact number, but that is, you're more likely to become addicted to whatever substance it is or to multiple substances the earlier you start using.
Right.
So it's really important to show that there are so many fun things to do that do not involve substances, and that you'll just feel better, and that you'll be able to, you know, still be able to build connections with other people who aren't using. So I think Spark and the YAB have done a really good job of showcasing that so far, and we will continue to do that.
Absolutely. And also, just to go back to what you were saying too, it's not even that there's, like, obviously there's nothing to do in Pittsfield, you know, we just went over that, but it's not even that. It's also the fact that people just make such a statement about how drinking and smoking is cool. It's a cool thing to do. And so that younger group is going to be like, I want to be cool. Like, I want to do that stuff. And then, like, I've even seen people who don't smoke or drink be not necessarily bullied, but just like saying they're weird for not even doing that stuff.
You feel left out for not doing it.
Yeah. And that causes peer pressure. And that's
especially when, like, when you do use substances, you're like, oh, like, it's kind of, it builds a community in a way. Like, in the bathrooms, they're like, oh, they share everything.
Right. Like, what flavor are you vaping?
Right. So, like, it really builds a community. We should try to build a community. Well, we are trying and advocating to build a community. So that's not, like, so it's not just like, oh, what vape? Oh, what vape are you smoking? Can we share? Da-da-da-da-da. No. It should be more than that. That connection and communication should be more than just a vape.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Hashtag, it's more than a vape.
So in another meeting that we had, we also not only talked about, like, vaping, but we also talked about alcohol use and how, I know there was a picture that Mia sent on our chat in WhatsApp. But I can't find the picture. That's what I was trying to find earlier, because she took a picture of the whiteboard and it was everything that we jotted down. But in that meeting, we touched very deeply on the topic of alcohol addiction and how it can cause it. But not only that, we also talked about ways in which we can change that in the community. We'll be right back after this break. So essentially, you know, we're just going to talk about really quickly how Spark has affected us personally and how it advocates ourselves. So, Selena, you want to start?
All right. So Spark has really opened a door for me in a way. I love helping my community, and also it shows how, like, that there is some, like, there is another way out of addiction, and how there's many solutions, and it really just shows the root of the problem in a way. I guess it really affected, like, how I view addiction.
Yeah, I can say the same, because I'm not going to get personal here, but, you know, I definitely in my life have witnessed a lot of close people of mine, you know, come in contact with addiction and mental health issues. And it's very disorienting to see that firsthand. But, you know, ever since I started Spark, which I started Spark back in August, you know, when I met Mia and Selena introduced me. And so this is technically my first year doing Spark, but all automatically, I definitely see a change, and I definitely feel that I've seen, you know, this problem in a new light, and I can see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
And it's very thrilling, kind of, you know, it's very nice to feel like I can relax because I know that I'm not alone and there is other people.
Right.
Which feels so rejuvenating.
Right. Spark does build like the type of atmosphere where you feel like you can share your experiences, because I know if you were to talk about addiction, or like if you had someone experience addiction that is close to you, you feel like you're getting judged. But I feel like in Spark, we don't judge you there. So I feel like it's very like nurturing in a way. Like,
definitely, yeah. And like you said about how being with somebody or knowing somebody who has addiction and feeling like, you know, you're trapped, it also feels draining too. Like you feel like, am I gonna go down that path too? And in turn, that causes other youth, such as, you know, the people around you, to think, well, that's the only way. That's what I gotta do.
It seems like the only path, but you can always change your path.
And that definitely, Spark has definitely helped me see that, definitely. And the people in the Spark group, I love them. Like they're literally the amazing. Right. Like, and it's literally, I feel like I can go to a meeting, I can be myself, I can talk about my issues, and I know that it's not gonna spread.
Right.
And they're gonna do
you're
is,
not alone.
You're not alone. The people in that group are they know.
And that's why we have Spark, because we wanna create that safe space for everyone.
Precisely.
Before Spark, I thought addiction was just a choice. Even though I've been surrounded by it, I still thought like they're just choosing to do this. But now, since I've been in Spark, I've realized it's more than that.
It's a lot more than
that. It's so much more than that.
These people, they've
went peers, through so care. Much. And even if it's just peer pressure, it's still something, you know? Like, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm just choosing to do this because I can. No, you feel pressured or you feel depressed. You're dependent on the dopamine level that drug or substance gives you. So then when you're so like amped up on it, you feel like you can never go back, but you can.
And then when you stop, you know, these withdrawals get so bad.
And then your mental health declines. And that's
why. And that affects school. That affects work life, school life, your home life. Like,
right. And we really want to, like I said, in Spark, we really want to advocate that there is a way out and there is like light at the end of the tunnel, like Autumn said.
Exactly. And just from being in Spark these past couple months, I definitely see a change, like not exactly within
community,
yes, but even just within the people in our Spark group, like I can see that they're going around school and, you know, they're definitely advocating for the things that we talk about in our meetings. And it makes the Spark group feel so special and so valuable to me personally, because I have never seen a group like this come together. Like it's beautiful actually, right, to watch this.
And like, to see that they're advocating for something that's so popular in the school, it really shows like bravery.
Yeah,
because like when someone talks crap about a vape, they're like, oh, what, you don't even do it?
Like, you don't do that? Like,
what? And you're talking crap about it? But like, it shouldn't be normal enough to like for people to get offended when someone's like, why are you doing that?
Right, it should be the other way around. Right. Actually, it should be like,
you but vape? Since it's so ooh, normalized in Taconic, especially like even in the Pittsfield public school systems, you look weird for not doing it.
Just Pittsfield as a whole, like it is just a hot bath for
addiction.
Like,
right,
it's crazy.
All right, Callie, it's your turn. How has Spark affected you?
I know that for me, it makes me feel better about myself being able to help other people with their addictions. And not everybody that joins Spark has to have an addiction of their own.
Right.
Like, you can either not have one or be recovered from one. And especially if you're recovered from one, it's really important that, like, you get your voice out and you share how you stopped and how you were able to get over that part of your life.
Right.
So that you can maybe help other people do the same. And even if it's not you, it can also be like a family member. Like you guys have said,
right, I also aunt, have one. Cousin.
Yeah. Cousin.
Grandpa.
Yep. Sisters.
Right.
I say that.
What they don't realize is how much it affects their children or right. their friends and everything.
Because they're just so, like, they're so caught up in it. They don't even, like, they can't even distinguish being sober or being high anymore.
Yeah, they don't even show up to their kids' special events.
I mean, I know people here at school who, like, show up and, like, every single day, like, they're like, I'm so high right now.
Right, they're fried.
Like, they can't even experience one day of school sober, and that just tells you what kind of community this is. But
and not even that, you can only imagine, like, what they're going through to make them want to be like that all day.
Like, and that's the mental health part of it all. Like,
right.
People, because of the stigma around smoking and drinking, you know, like, people just automatically assume how, like, oh, like, they're just doing that just to be cool. But And we do talk about that, you know, like, that is part of the reason why, you know, this is a problem. But also we have to know that, we have to understand that sometimes people do this because of home life. You don't know what happens behind closed
right.
doors.
It's
and it's
so much more. Than
it's important
just
to know that, like, people could be going through a lot of stuff. And so in turn, they resort to these drugs, these right. nicotine, alcohol, whatever there is in store for them, whatever they can right. access. It's
what I've noticed.
It's how they cope.
Right. What I've noticed is how when your parent is absent because of a substance, at first you feel like it's your fault, and that's normal. But as you grow up, you realize, like, wow. And then, for example, the kids who do end up becoming addicted to substances, they're looking for their parent in that substance. They're looking for that person who was supposed to be that shoulder to cry on.
They're looking for that acceptance through right. that drug.
They're that acceptance, that like comfort that they didn't get because their parent wasn't there, you know?
Yeah. And not even just parent, but siblings even,
right.
which, you know, yeah, okay. But anyways, back to the topic. But all in all, you know, Spark has really just, it makes me feel special, makes me feel valuable as an individual, and it makes me feel like I can go out into my community, I can advocate for these problems that we face, and I know that there will be a solution, and one day we will be looking at a future where that these kids will not have to even think about a vape or even think about alcohol,
right.
or they'll, the only alcohol they'll be thinking about is on their 21st birthday. They'll right. be like, oh, I'm 21.
Or even
okay.
like, you know, to clean out your cut.
Yeah, that rubbing alcohol. But, you know, Spark is just very important to me. Even though I've been here for such little time, it definitely has created such an impact on my life. And it makes me see things very differently now. Because I know, I will admit this, before Spark, mental health was down, we'll say that, but Spark has definitely helped me, and the people I'm around make me feel important and make me feel valuable, and I absolutely adore the Spark committee.
Yeah, I feel like now that I am in Spark, I've been in Spark for like since my sophomore year, for like 3 years, I'm guessing. Spark, like, every time I feel like there's no one behind my side, I know that Spark, like, in a whole, I'm not, like, no, I'm not alone. I have someone to lean back
yeah.
on. I have a community that relates to my issues and won't judge me for what's going on, you know?
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, so that's what we wanted to talk to you guys, to Spark. And thanks to Marie, Callie, and Selena here. I do want to thank you guys for joining us, and we want to thank our listeners at WTBR.
89.7 FM and for streaming on our podcast sites as Spotify and CastBox. Sorry, I don't do this. feel free to contact us at Taconic TV@pittsfield.net. Sorry about that. For any questions or comments, we hope you will join us again soon. And we'll see you next time on Up to Taconic. Thank you. Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced at the Taconic Podcast Studio in Pittsfield, MA. And this week featured Autumn, Callie, Selena, and Marie. The show is produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting hardware and Pro Tools software and taped in January of 2025. Thank you for watching Up on Taconic.